Welcome to the daily VFN Radio Highlights at VFNTV.com. Enjoy. So what's been going on, Derek?
Nothing but Jesus. Family man, you know, just loving my kids, loving my wife.
Family man.
Isn't that awesome?
Derek.
Yeah.
Well, I just want to give a little background here. You know, Derek was part of what we were doing for the Lord at the Next Step annual Fathers and Sons camping trips. And we were blessed with his presence, and God blessed us with each other, and then God's presence, and just melted us together in the wilderness, right?
Yeah, yeah.
The Father's heart, huh?
Man, beautiful.
Isn't it?
You know, I mean, ever since, you know, I've known you, every time I've always considered, you know, family in my mind, you know, I always think to closeness, you know, and that's what I got on that trip, you know, because the way I came up,
right,
you know.
How was that? There's a lot of people that came up, that are coming up and came up, like you came up. Can you share with them what that is and the paradigm, how God can rock that world?
Yeah, you know, my background is pretty much common. You know, my father, he really wasn't around, and my mom's, you know, she pretty much raised me and my brothers and sisters. So, you know, that closeness, that affection that people long for, that validation, mm-hmm. It really wasn't that.
Right.
You know, so when I finally came to a place where the Father encountered me, mm-hmm. you know, that's when I really began to understand that love is not so, how should we put it, so dry,
right.
So played out, you know, so repetitious. You know, our definition of love is like a contract.
Mm-hmm.
You do for me, I do for you.
That's right.
You know, but God's love is complete opposite.
Right.
You know, it's unconditional. There's mm-hmm. no terms. There's no conditions to what he'll do or what lengths he'll go to get you.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. You know, and that's what I encountered. Right. You know, and family, love, you know, that's right. What I miss.
Right. And then also, I mean, we're in the wilderness, and most of us are not campers, but yet we were in the wilderness camping.
Yeah.
Thank God for air mattresses for the years we did have them. I remember John sleeping on a root.
Remember my goodness.
I thought, did you ever think about moving your sleeping bag? he slept on a root night long. Remember that?
Yeah.
Wow. That was amazing. So hopefully now he's in Pennsylvania right now.
Hopefully he has an air mattress now.
Yeah, he does. I saw it in the picture. He was loaded up with gear. And so you remember those days with just hundreds and hundreds of boys and fathers and just the father's heart, and how powerful those days were.
Yeah, I didn't want anybody to touch me.
Yeah, I understand.
You know, I was just so guarded,
right.
You know, because first of all, you know, my mom, she made me go, you
right.
know, me and my best friend at the time, you know, we got called, you know, in trouble and
right.
just bat talking and just regular
no.
old, yeah. But, you know, just the entire environment, man, it was all love.
Mm-hmm.
And that's one thing. It's hard. It's hard for men to grasp that concept of love,
mm-hmm.
you know, because when your father's not there, you mm-hmm. know, who really is there to validate you as a man?
That's right.
You know, mama can't validate you as a man like the father can.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
You know, when you have a father that's present, mm-hmm. he said, hey, your tie's crooked.
That's right.
Straighten your back.
That's right.
Make sure you take out the trash.
That's right.
You know, you're doing a good job.
Yeah.
You know, things like this. Yeah. You know, I mean, they're common, but when God validates us,
mm-hmm.
you know, it means so much more.
Yeah.
You know, mm-hmm. when you're strong, you're yeah. mighty.
Right.
You know, mm-hmm. I love you.
Right.
You know, I mean, you're doing a good job. Press on. Keep
right.
on. These are the things that we look to hear, you know, in the natural and
mm-hmm.
and God. In God, this is all we need.
Right.
The validation of the Father. Mm-hmm. His word means so much. When right. the Father says it,
right.
it's official. You know, it's kind of like co-signing, you
right,
know?
Right.
I mean, when he signs on, it's
right.
official. You have yeah. it. It's yours.
It's
Take
yours.
It off the lot.
Yeah.
yeah.
I love
yeah.
that. I like
yeah,
that.
That's good.
That. Well, you know, I think about, you know, that's, you can see why the father's role is such under attack from every angle, because he represents, he's kind of a representation of, if it's healthy, you know, what a father should do. And so the enemy's attacked all that concept, and all of a sudden fathers are considered insignificant, and all of a sudden all we have is teachers.
Yeah.
And there's nothing more irritating than somebody that keeps teaching you but doesn't care about you.
That's it.
You know what I'm saying? He says we have 10,000 people that are telling you what to do. They're not going to help you do it, right? 10,000 teachers, but very few fathers. Then he says, for I'm your father in Christ Jesus. And so, you know, what we're seeing and we're believing, he says, before the great and dreadful day of the Lord comes, that he would send Elijah and he would turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the children to the fathers, that the fathers and the Lord are going to rise up. You know, men, boys will be fathers one day.
Amen.
But they need to be fathered so that they can have a paradigm, a grid. So when they know how to do it, you know what I'm saying? They just imitate. They're the double portion of what was poured into them. They got what their father gave them, but then they got what God gave them directly. So they got those two aspects of it. It's like a double portion. It's supposed to get better, yeah, not worse, as things go on.
It's just like, you know, the men of the house of Israel in Joshua's generation. Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of people don't really understand the seriousness of how Jericho was taken.
Right.
They couldn't fight that.
Right.
There was no way, because God had to give them what they didn't get as children.
Yes.
He had get circumcised.
Mm-hmm.
So if they're walking around, you can imagine.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
that's
gruesome.
Right.
You know, but these are the things that we're missing.
Yeah.
Is that, you know, in order for God to take us to that next level, mm-hmm, we got to get what we didn't have.
Right.
So nobody wants to be father. Right. Everybody wants to be fed.
Right. And no, and nobody wants to be spiritually circumcised.
Mm-hmm. No.
So you have both of them. You have two aspects of individuals saying, you know, I don't want to be dealt with in my flesh. Mm-hmm. And then you have somebody else who's supposed to deal with somebody because it's selfless. You know, fathering is a one-way street quite often. You know, it's down the road where you see the benefits of fathering. Because believe it or not, when you're speaking into spiritual children and even your natural children, it takes a while for them to realize they're not the center of the universe and that planets don't revolve around them. You know, so we're like little planets that orbit around them for a certain point, you know.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. They're the center of the world until they get in it and they realize, oh, my goodness, all that stuff you taught me. He says, train your children in the way they should go. And when they get old, getting old is a different definition for everybody. It's like, well, maybe they're going to be old enough next week.
Mm, right.
Yeah.
You know? And so you got two aspects of, yeah, the fathers, because remember, when we had thousands of boys wanting to go to the wilderness.
Yeah.
But our difficulty is trying to find a man. Mm-hmm. We had millionaires in our cities. We had business owners in our cities. We had people that stood behind pulpits that preached the gospel of Jesus Christ in our cities. We had people who said they cared in our cities. Mm-hmm. But the reality is it boiled down to, and I shouted prophetically so loud, and I was everywhere. We had so many signage, so many media, so much things going on that the governor calls me to his mansion. That's how much stuff we put out, because we were crying out, going, listen, you know, turn your hearts to the children.
Yeah.
You turn your hearts, and this is what I said, if you don't turn your hearts to the children, they're going to turn their guns to you.
That's right.
Didn't I say it?
Yeah, that's exactly right.
Mm-hmm. And so don't be complaining about a gun pointing your way if you never turn your heart towards somebody. Because if you don't speak in his life today, he may be climbing in your window tomorrow.
Yeah.
Because he doesn't even know your life. You know, you created a whole aspect of envy, and like you had something and he didn't have it, and the enemy messed with that. And now all of a sudden, you know, you set yourself up, or the enemy made you an adversary in their life because you didn't care. Right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
That's what I remember. We were in New Orleans, you know, we were doing
those guys, yeah.
And they're doing a dance on the street, and they're saying different things. They listen, you know, they put a bucket or a hat out for people doing. They're very good. Mm-hmm. What they're doing. They said, you can either give money to us now, or we'll go to your houses and take it. And they made thousands of dollars. Yeah, tonight. They were joking. I went, ha, 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 ha. We're like, here's a 20, man. Here's a 20.
There you go.
But they were very good. They were dancing and doing acrobats, and it was just really good entertainment. And mm-hmm. they had probably several hundred people that stop and watch them at a time. But you know, but the sad thing is about it, Derek, that many, it was so hard. I remember some boys from Lexington Terrace, Lexington.
That sounds right.
No, on
where's it at?
In Warrenton, right next to Lexington Terrace.
Okay.
And
Warrenton Village?
No, Warrenton. Anyway, I just love them. You know, Roderick and the crews there. I just love them.
Yeah.
And And I couldn't find men. I couldn't find men. I'm looking in the face. Listen, man, it's just
one weekend. Yeah.
Which is equivalent to what?
48 hours,
which is equivalent if the average father spends about 13 seconds a day of undivided attention with his children. So it's equal to like 25 years or something, I would say. And it helps the kid get a paradigm of what it's like to have a man around for a little bit. And we couldn't get enough mentors. And they wanted to come tell us what to do, but they just didn't want to come be with the son. And many did, but many didn't. And the ones that did had scarred lives. The ones who wanted to but couldn't had scarred lives because they didn't have a father in their life. And so they understand they wanted to be able to come out and help.
Yeah.
But once we pulled the rap sheet out, you know, because we had to do background checks because of what was going on. And even though they probably would have been a real perfect mentor because they suffered in their life for not having that person in their life, we couldn't do that. And so we had four young boys, right?
Mm-hmm.
Four caught a cab from, I don't know,
wherever it was.
No, Warrington.
Probably Marino Court.
Oh, yeah.
Marino Courts.
That was it.
Yeah, Marino Courts. And they called a cab themselves, you know, like it. How old, maybe?
Well, they were young. I mean, from 9 to 13, maybe.
9 to 13. And they convinced the cab driver to take them at that age all the way out to where we're having it in the wilderness. And they show up, and they're going, we're here, you know. And because so many years they came, but the men who were willing to stand in the gap got fewer and fewer, you know, and there was no mentors.
Mm-mm.
There was no mentors for them. And it's sort of like your son's being rejected. You're looking like, oh my goodness, what do you do, you know? And I think several, I can't name names now, but I could if I could think about it. I know he's on our Facebooks. But he said, I'll take them. And so they took two boys each, and they spent time with him. He was a real cold dude. I wish I could tell you, give him the credit for that. But it was just amazing that when the hearts did turn and we all went to the wilderness together, Father God showed up and just blessed us, didn't he?
Yeah.
It was powerful. I mean,
you know, the entire experience, man, it really taught me just how deep, man, forgiveness really runs. You know, because for the longest, you know, I never knew that all the bitterness that I carried, you know, as a preteen, you know, was from just not having them around. Mm-hmm. I never knew how deep that really ran. That, you know, I got used to him not being around. My father, he wasn't a bad dude.
Right.
He showed up, you know, whenever, you know, he felt he needed to. But, you know, it's just I got used to him not being around.
Right.
You know, so, you know, anything that would try to, you know, stand in that gap or stand in that place, you know, and do what he was supposed to be doing, there was a huge wall up.
Right.
You know, whether it was a woman or it was a man. If you wasn't mama, I wouldn't hear you.
Right.
You know, that's just how I operated.
Right.
Mm-hmm. But forgiveness, man, it just poured through me once I really just encountered the Father, man.
Right.
You know? I mean, I remember that day like it was yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I guess we had the prayer tunnel, the tunnel of tears, what you call it.
Yeah. Well, let me describe it to everybody so you can think about it. We have, first of all, the fathers and the father figures would stand in front of the boys in maybe 8,000 square foot tent in the wilderness, and the boys were all sitting in their chairs, and the fathers would stand up and face the boys after hearing about forgiveness and the importance of the father and that we needed to ask our sons to forgive us for not being the father that we should have been in their life. Whether that father figure was their father or not, that boy needed to understand that and needed to give forgiveness, so they kind of stood in the gap even for their fathers. And a lot of fathers that were there that got forgiveness as well. And they would say, would you forgive me for not being the father that you needed in your life? And how quick, those boys were so quick, weren't they? They just go, I forgive you. But they needed that connection for that release.
Yeah.
And then the men, the father figures of all different ethnic groups and socioeconomic groups, but everybody was in sweat, so we were all the same. It was beautiful, wasn't it? The tunnel, it was just beautiful.
I mean, you know, in that moment, you know, I see I feel something in the corner of my eye already.
Just, oh my goodness, I see it. Just
in that moment, you know, almost, you know, 13, 14 years of, you know, nothing was being made up for.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know,
Let me describe the tunnel one more so they end it. Okay, now, after the men repented or stood in the gap and just said, would you forgive me for not being the father? They formed a tunnel, men on both sides, you know, and imagine the boys walking between two men. Now imagine a whole bunch of men shoulder to shoulder on both sides. So they got basically a tunnel made of men. Mm-hmm. And think about it. It's just every shape, every size, every ethnic group, every economic group. I mean, all of your mindsets and stereotypes were broken because you found that every one of them loves you.
Yeah.
And they're cool. Okay, now talk about your experience. You're going to be, what's it like for you? Now they're seeing you walk down this tunnel and you're seeing all this, I mean, long, long tunnel of diverse men.
I know I was, I don't know how many men was could have been there that year. It was my first year.
Mm-hmm.
But the moment I came down there, you know, just I knew it had to be God. But so many men, mm-hmm. you know, to tell me things like, you're going to make it. It's going to be all right. Simple things,
mm-hmm.
you know, you're going to make it. You're going to be all right. You're going to do well. God loves you. God loves you. You know, God's here for you. God, I mean, there wasn't religious things. It wasn't, you know, I knew it wasn't lies. I knew it had to be from the Father for somebody mm-hmm. to not even know me from a can of paint,
mm-hmm. uh-huh.
you know, to say exactly what I needed in that time. But I mean, as I was going, every single guy in that tunnel was just praying for me, laying hands on me, hugging me. And I just felt just the Spirit of Christ just fall on me, just break me.
Powerful,
you know,
Before
I even got to the end of the tunnel, I couldn't see a thing. My eyes were bloodshot red from crying.
I remember.
Mm-hmm. Because I knew that was my release in the spirit.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and what's funny, I never told you this, but, you know, after that encounter, mm-hmm. I went back to my home church
mm-hmm.
and I told them mm-hmm. what God did for me. Because I knew it was real.
Right.
I knew I was filled with the Spirit of God.
Awesome.
You know, and my local pastor, he almost resented me for it.
Right.
But yeah, I know him. I know him.
Right.
Yeah, I know about that church. Yeah,
right.
I know about those people.
Right.
I'm like, but look what God did.
God.
Mm-hmm. You know, I had already, you know, been a part of a church at that time for a whole entire year.
Which is more like of a traditional, we call a traditional expression of a church at that time, pretty much.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And the word was being preached. Mm-hmm. I was involved, you know, singing mm-hmm. in the choir, you know, active in the youth group mm-hmm. and, you know, just excelling and all these other things. But I wasn't filled.
Yeah. You were broken. You were broken. You needed to be healed. Yeah.
And you know, that whole entire experience, man, it was more than just, you know, a camping trip.
Oh,
but
yeah.
This was to me, what I seen in the spirit, it mm-hmm. was almost a rebirthing of mm-hmm. a generation mm-hmm. right here in Pensacola, Florida.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because we have such a reputation especially at that time for, you know, a high crime rate.
Yeah.
You know, and so many people being sent off for simple things, stupid mm. things, or whatever you call it. But, mm. man, there was so many lives that I still see today that was transformed
mm-hmm. yeah.
from that. But I know that what I felt, you know, that night, it can't be compared to anything else that I've ever experienced in my walk with Christ
mm.
because it was the genuine, true
yeah.
Spirit of God really mm. entering into my heart mm. and cleaning up and taking mm. residence,
mm.
taking residence in me.
Mm. Right.
You know, and
you may remember, it was just God took over.
Yeah.
He just took once repentance went forth and once it was given, it was like a whirlwind
yeah.
of God. It was more like a pressurized chamber. No, it was like a weightiness. It was all of that.
Yeah.
I mean, it was just undeniable awe. And everybody was in tears and overtaken. Our hearts just melted in God's presence. And God began to show all of us, not just sons, but fathers, that this relationship between a father and a father figure and a son is of God.
Yeah,
it's of God, and things are going to be dysfunctional without it. But we can get healed.
Mm-hmm.
We can get healed from that. And there's some people listening right now. And what happens is, you know, after a while, you know, you try, every kid tries to have a relationship with their father. You could be have a good father, but he's not present.
Yeah.
You know, being it's a lot harder to be present than just to be.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and being present requires your death. You have to actually want your children to do better than you.
Yeah.
You're willing to lay down your life for the next generation. You want them to do better. You're never competitive with a son. If you're competitive with what you call a son, you're a teacher. You're not a father, because a father would want their sons to do better, and they would point at him and her or the spiritual door, and they go, look at them. Oh my goodness, that's mm-hmm. my boy. You know, I mean, that's the yeah. kind of feeling a father would have. That's the kind of feeling Father God has about us. And maybe you're listening right now, you know, and you can relate to what Derek's saying. And maybe this is you. And I don't care if you're 8, if you're 15, or if you're 30, or you're 50, you cannot skip this. You mm-hmm. cannot skip getting healed in that area of your life. You're not going to be full. You're not going to be able to function, you know, as a father. And we love our mothers, and they've done a wonderful job. And in the absence of the fathers, the mothers have to take on the role, absent for whatever reason. The mothers have taken on a role, but a mother cannot teach a man to be a man, and a man cannot teach a woman to be a woman. It's going to take somebody, you know, that is that mm-hmm. to be able to do that. And that's, if that's you right now, I want to encourage you. You know, contact us. Contact us at VFN Radio. You can go to VFNTV.com, and there's a contact area, and just get us your information. Also, you know, just like Derek met the father, mm-hmm. you can meet him. You can go to meetmyfather.org, meetmyfather.org, and we'll share with you a couple of our stories, just like Derek shared his. But listen, the whole purpose of Jesus' ministry was to make the Father known.
Yeah,
we're making a lot of stuff known today, but I'm tired of hearing about it, so I know God's got to be tired of hearing about it. We're supposed to make the Father known.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
That's our whole ministry, is the Father's heart, to make him known. You can do that at meetmyfather.org. Meetmyfather.org. We'll be right back. You've just been listening to the highlights from the daily VFN radio program. Don't forget to share them with your friends. Find more and listen to the daily VFN radio program in its entirety at VFNTV.com or with the mobile VFN TV app on your mobile phone or device. That's VFNTV.com.